I heard this a lot when I was in Egypt 2001. Everybody was complaining, my own people, the Christian people, complaining and saying, U.S. is not the same anymore. And this was after 9/11. And I don't know, because if somebody's living far away, I know they were maybe meaning about more restricted on security. Maybe it's not easy to get a visa. I don't know what they really meant by that. But I think maybe if I were living there, I would be concerned about the spirit of people. What happened to the spirit of people when they are hit by something unbelievable and something even behind our imagination and behind our, the most evil person cannot even think to do something like that. And a few weeks ago when we heard and watched or even some of our members were being in the marathons, it seems kind of refreshed our memories about that. And how even our basic need and our basic foundation of going outside, practicing our safety and our normally loving day, it's even threatened by the evil of this world. And as we heard a lot from politicians, from many peoples, but as a people of faith, how could we face such a time like that? And as we read from Solomon chapter 11, and I want you to remember when the psalmist say, if the foundation is shaken, where do we go? And actually in the ancient world, they believed the world was actually established on four pillars. So they're actually picturing the world as like a house stand on four pillars. And he was saying, if one of these pillars bent or destroyed, it's very scary. When we are just living a lovely day and living under our house, eating, enjoying our life, taking care of our children, watching our garden, and suddenly something is shaken. And we start to question, are we safe anymore? Is there anything we can put our foot on and say, we will never be shaken again? I think the Bible is saying if we did that because we stand on a human being foundation, there is no way we can say that. Because there is always something that fall apart. It's not about giving up on a human being, but also being realistic about our capacity. And here we see the story about Isaiah coming to God's presence to understand he was facing the death of one, a close friend. And there is a lot of talking about why this was really very important for Isaiah to connect his new foundation of faith with an awful moment, a death of a king. Because there are many ways. Many people say that Isaiah was really part of the monarchy, was part of the royal family. So he's physically was connected to this king. And other people said, no, he was a close friend to this king. So here is a prophet, can say whatever he wants to say, can scream at people, and he's not scared because the king is in his back. It's a good foundation. And he was actually a good king. He wasn't a bad king. When you read in Chronicles, there is a lot of good things about King Uzziah and about what he did. And in the end, something happened between him and the priest. And then they said he crossed the line. He was very successful, and he was trying to do everything. So he wasn't satisfied about just being a king. He wanted to be a priest. So he went to the temple and tried to practice things he cannot do as a king, as a secular person. And from that, we read from Chronicles, God punished him. And he came, and as we said, punished him with leprosy for disobeying the Lord and entering to the temple of the Lord and practice as a priest. It's a story of a successful man who was killed by his bride. It's a story also of a prophet standing on a strong king. And the story today is about how we can start our mission. And when we start our mission, that's not it. If we read in chapter 6 about the Isaiah starting his mission, so what about everything he said before that? He took long 5 chapters before that. And now he's telling us he got the mission, he got the call. Because I think the call is not something static, it's something dynamic, something shaping us. Maybe he started and he felt the call of God in the beginning, but he was going maybe not in the perfect direction. And when you have time, please, when you go home, go and read the first chapters, the first 5 chapters. And see what's the difference between before the 6 chapters and after the 6 chapters. See the tone of the prophet. And see the pronouns he used when he named how people are awful and evil and all these bad things. And he never saw himself as part of this unsuccessful community. He was saying them. They didn't worship you right there. And he was pointing finger at them. And I think the most miraculous statement of this passage today is him saying, I am the one has the unclean lips before he talks about his people. He didn't feel he's connected to his own people. He didn't feel he was part of them. Or maybe he didn't know that. He knew as a prophet, as a priest, as a preacher, as a deacon, at whatever privilege we carry, we put ourselves above others. And he has another thing we can maybe forgive him for. He has the monarchy in his blood. He connected to the royal family. So maybe it's not easy to be humble. It's not easy to relate to the normal people. But today, Isaiah is telling us about his connection with God. God who told him, come and see me. What happened to your king? Your king is done, is over, is dead. And a lot of commentaries saying maybe he wasn't really physically dead, but spiritually he was dead, the king. And maybe this was shocking for a man of God to see a story of a good king. He was really following God's rules and suddenly turn around and betrayed everything. And we know this man ruled Israel, ruled Judea for 52 years. And here is Isaiah starting his ministry, young spirit, hopeful. The king maybe is a role model for him to start and see. Maybe he couldn't even understand the dynamic between different group of people in the state of Israel at this time. He is a priest. He is people who will call him. He's not doing something good. And how it's easy for us to get confused with a lot of information coming from opposite ways. Which one is right? Which one is really holding the whole truth? Which one is really we need to support and stand behind? And Isaiah today is telling us about the true call. Is not the one we can go and scream and point a finger at people, but the call that transforms us first. We are not just a carrier with no soul. We are not just a messenger with no brain. We are not just a follower without no see. We have all these. God gave us the eyes to see and our mind to think and judge things. And also our spirit to lift when all the foundations around us is shaking. It seems even destroyed. And we can't even feel safe more. But we didn't need to be scared about being changed. And as I heard, after every strong tragedy happening in the whole world, we want to be the same. I won't disagree with this statement. We want to be resilient, but we want to be really think and see what God is telling us, how we can see even through an awful moment. While Isaiah lost his best friend, his close family member, whatever connection, but they have some close connection. there is a loss here. And when this happened, at the same time, it was an open window for him to come and feel humble. I didn't have anybody anymore to protect my back. To know, Isaiah, there is somebody who always can protect you. As I said, this is a very interesting message to remind us. Are we called? And if we are called, what kind of ministry we should, what kind of people we should be? He saw God in a very powerful moment, served by his angels, all this wonderful scene. Everybody cannot speak or understand what was really going on. But I think God was not interested to scare him, but to share with him what's really God's concern and what's God's passion. God had a discussion with Isaiah. He's talking to him, saying, who should we send? Just listen to the soft and nice. This is not the language of a strong God who will say, go and do this. This is a God who will say, here is the problem. Can you tell me how we can solve it? Can you share with me how we can work together to go out to these people? You are my people. You are my people, regardless of how others review you. And had the discussion, who shall we send? And how we reach out to them. My last question I'd like to leave with you today. Why did God give Isaiah the choice to decide to go or not? God has the power to do everything. God has the power to order, to command, and we have to follow. But I think because God's mission is for everybody, and first for us as a carrier of this message. Because it's not about what we should say, but also about how we should be. We are called to be God's people at all time, even when the foundation of life, of things we grow up with, is changing, and we didn't know. We are called to be part of the creation and understand there is something we can do instead of pointing out finger at somebody. That's what makes us unique, living in this country. And that's what makes us unique as a people of faith. And that's what makes us unique as standing together and say, this thing is very painful, and we admit that. We are not going to be controlled by what only happened, but we are going to be guided by the Spirit. We are called to help people so we can help ourselves first. We are called to put our trust in God, so even if things shaken, we're still in his hand. As a father shaking their child, maybe they are scared from how much they shake them, but in the end, they are saved. When they see the smile of their parents, they know they are saved. When they see the love and the energy in the room, they know they are okay. And we are called from time to time to grow in faith so we can understand what we are saying and what we are doing. Things bad happen in our life, but we are not going to be controlled by it because we are built our faith on the rock, on Jesus Christ.